I'm Tyler.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are TLC Coaches.
Helping couples in Act Two of their marriage. Hello. Why is that funny? All I said is hello. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back.
I guess it's because I think you're waiting for someone to answer you back.
I know.
Hello.
Sometimes I do wish we could interact, but that'll be another platform.
Eventually we will.
Yeah, for real. So we're coming to you from our bedroom. That's real exciting. Hey, where we're folding laundry. No joke. Folding laundry as we're discussing what we're going to talk about tonight on the podcast and getting this laundry done. Laundry, I swear, it's like every mother's, what's that?
Hopefully some of the dads are doing it too.
Yeah, seriously.
No, well, this is...
Don't mind the folding of the laundry. The folding of the laundry is not bad. It's the in and out. Seriously, has someone come up with a washer and dryer combo?
Have you seen that?
I looked it up once.
There's a washing machine that will wash your clothes.
And then dry it.
Dry it and then fold it.
Oh, that's stupid. I can't imagine I could do a good job of that. But it's the putting it from the washer to the dryer that just like I can hardly, I hate it. But I really don't mind folding it because folding it, I can listen to a podcast or I can turn on one of my books. Audible is amazing, you know.
This is one of your classic,
but
come over and talk to me so I can clean the kitchen kind of things.
Yeah, I can't just do one thing at a time. I have to do two things at a time. And so if friends come over or something and we're visiting, I'll be like, look, let's totally visit, but I've got to like wash the dishes while we talk or whatever.
So much gets done whenever you have company over.
Yeah, for reals. But I think tonight we want to talk about thinking. I've got Dr. Seuss on my brain. I just spent a month of music theater workshops at Mesa Community College here in Mesa. I've been doing it for 21 years. Yes, I'm old enough to say that.
Well, you started when you were 15,
yeah, I started really young. Right? I was 19 when I started. Anyway, super awesome. Thanks to Sue Ann Lucius for giving me the opportunity all those years ago to become a teacher. And I'm one of like seven. There's an amazing team. And we put on music. Basically, it's a 2-week intense music theater camp where we put on a Broadway review with about 90 kids, all split up into different sections according to age and gender. And it's so, so much fun. It's an intense harmonizing. The whole show is memorized. Choreography, acting, singing, lights, dance, live band. It's amazing. Anyway, so there's two sessions. Well, really, there's three sessions. And the first 2 weeks, a group comes and they put on their show at the end of the 2 weeks. And then the third and fourth weeks of June, we do another exact same session as session one. And then we do another one for little kids. And anyway, they're amazing and exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you needed all that backstory, but you know, I give the details anyway. But well, I have.
But it eats up our whole month of June.
Right.
It is our life in June. Our kids are all involved.
Yeah, our kids are in it. Our second son did both workshops this year. Loved it, and he's kind of our. Well, they're all good, but he's kind of our little actor guy. He kind of lights up the stages. He kind of does one of those things you can't really teach. He just gets it. Anyway, this is not about acting or our children or any of that.
I
do have Dr. Seuss on the brain because our opening number was "Oh, the Things You Can Think" from Seussical the Musical, and I've been thinking. It sounds silly to say, but I've been thinking about thinking lately. I tend to be a little OCD. Period. I tend to be a little OCD. I think I get it from my dad. Thank you, Dad. Where I just kind of, I can let myself get pretty obsessed with lots of things, whether it's things that bring me anxiety or that I'm worried about. I mean, I can obsess about stuff. And lately I've been just, it sounds kind of silly to even say it out loud, but lately I've been trying to be more aware of my thinking in the moment of the thinking and saying to myself, I don't want to be thinking about this right now. Mm-hmm. What do I want to be thinking about? And then I'll completely change my thinking to something I want to be thinking about instead. And it's kind of nice. It's been a fun little experiment in my crazy brain.
I love that.
Any thoughts?
Yeah. Thoughts for your thoughts.
Well, tell me you know that show, you guys. If you haven't seen Parks and Rec, seriously, can we be friends? I am literally wondering.
That's actually... maybe that should be one of the stipulations we post on our website, you know.
What?
Prerequisite for calling us is you have to have some working knowledge of Parks and Recreation.
Yeah. For us to be friends, you have to love Parks. Anyway. Sometimes when we're doing these podcasts, if you do know Parks, you guys, sometimes I feel like I'm that guy. Thoughts for your thoughts for your thoughts or whatever it is. Anyway, do you have any thoughts about...
Thoughts about thinking?
Yeah.
Well, we're listening to, you know, Dr. Paul's book, and he talks about metacognition, the ability to think about thinking.
Right.
But I love that. I love... you know, you can't do anything about your thoughts until you're aware, first of all, that you're having these thoughts. And the only way to stop the progression of an emotion that you don't like is to stop yourself and say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why am I having these feelings? What was the thought that triggered that? Well, I mean, it's not the only way, but it's certainly the way that I think works best for me. And clearly you've been able to master that within the last... You know, I don't know. How long have you been doing this?
Honestly, just a few weeks.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that I've mastered it yet, but it sure is nice to just be able to go. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will play in the thoughts for a while before I realize this isn't doing me any good. You know, this is me making up a scenario of something that could happen that maybe freaks me out or whatever it is, or stress about some interaction with somebody or something. I mean, who knows?
It's, okay, it can be any number. That totally reminds me of when we were first married. And, you know...
I already know what you're going to say.
When we were first married and we didn't have Marco Polo.
I don't think it was texting
yet. We didn't text very much. I think at the time, texting cost you minutes.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so we had to minimize texting and all that stuff. And you would, I remember... You would send me a text or you'd try to call me and maybe I'd be in a class or something and I wouldn't be able to get right back to you. And you'd say, okay, you're dead to me.
Yeah, you're dead to me. Do you know why he was dead to me? This is why he's dead to me. Because I, you know, time had passed and I hadn't heard from him or hadn't talked to him. And what does my brain do? My brain goes, oh my gosh, he's been in a car accident. He's dead. He's lying on the ground dead. He didn't have his wallet with him today. They can't figure out who he is. They can't identify him. You know, and I literally make up step by step what could it happen, of course. But, you know, I make up a scenario of what's happened to Tyler. And fast forward, he's dead. And so he's like, wait, what? I'm that in trouble for not calling you back or whatever? And I'll be like, no. You're not in trouble. You're just dead to me. Like, I've made you dead.
Yeah, my definition of you're dead to me was very different than yours.
Mine was, you know.
Literal.
Yeah, and mine was like, dude, that much time has passed.
Okay.
And my brain has gone cray cray and you died.
You haven't done that for years.
No, I've done better at, again, controlling the thoughts. Because, you know, there's that definition of anxiety, right? Is that for some, anxiety can be stressing about the future that hasn't even happened.
Uh-huh.
Or what could happen in the future.
Right.
And I have, like, you know, like when the kids are away, like when Cole's at a camp for a week and I'm not with him every 5 seconds to know how it's going. And that's everyday life, right? But I just have decided to just think nothing is wrong in this moment. Everything is as it should be. And everything is fine because it doesn't do any good to think of what could be happening.
Okay, now you sound a little Pollyanna. Everything is fine. How do you, if your brain naturally says, if I don't hear from you, you're dead. If that's your automatic pilot, okay, so we'll go there. Your automatic setting is, if I don't hear from you, you're dead. Then how have you gone to everything is fine? Do you believe that when you say that to yourself? Do you literally have the Pollyanna, everything's fine and I'm okay, it's good.
Well, but think about it, everything is fine. I mean, in the moment, I don't know where you are every second of the day.
Right.
And everything is fine. And honestly, I want to get to a place where no matter what happens, it still is fine, because I believe now, after my own coaching and my own learning and growing, I do believe that whatever happens, whatever is fine, because that's what happened, or that's what's happening. So it
So
is fine.
regardless of what
No matter what
happens,
happens, it's fine,
I
because
can
it's
be
what's
fine
supposed
because I
to.
am fine.
Exactly. It's supposed to have happened.
Oh, so it's not Pollyanna. You're actually
No.
accepting reality.
Right. It's not, it's loving what is. It's Byron Katie. It's, you know, it's, it is what it, I mean, it's cheesy to say it because it's so cliche, but it is what it is. All that means is it is happened. This has happened. This is what's going on.
And my world hasn't collapsed,
Right.
regardless of so you can say in a moment of maybe some anxiety where you don't know what's going on, regardless of what happens, it is what it is, and I'm fine, and I'll be able to handle whatever is.
Right. I think, I don't know if I shared this on the podcast, but what you just said made me remember talking with Marlene Nielsen years ago after she, you know, it was years after she'd lost, I believe at the time, a 1-year-old little boy. He was ran over in their front carport, and I was struggling with a newborn, my first newborn, and she was over visiting and helping me, and I was talking to her about that experience and how hard that was and is and all those things, and she said, you know, I learned a lesson through this horrible trial. And of course, at the time, this was about 14 years ago that we talked, but the incident with her son had happened like 20 years before that. And I remember her saying, you know what you learn through something like this is that you learn to never say to God, oh, hey, don't give me this or that trial because I couldn't handle that, because you'll find out that you can. I mean, what does not handling it mean? You know, we say things like, oh, I couldn't handle that. Well, okay, so not handling it means you commit suicide? I mean, what does not handling it mean? So really, we have a track record. You know, I've heard lots of people say this. We have a track record of getting through life 100%. Like, we're doing fine.
We're getting through.
We're getting through it. It might not be fun all the time, but it's not supposed to be. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously the psychologist part of me wants to jump track as soon as you mention suicide and talk about all the different, well, here's, you know, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are living their lives on the day to day, who are doing the best they can, and they will say things like, you know, I couldn't handle that. Well, you know, the everyday Joe will find that they can handle that. There are obviously scenarios with people who have emotional disturbance, who are depressed, who are whatever. And we do need to be sensitive to that, but that's not what we're talking about right now.
Right. I just think it's really amazing that we get to think about and we get to think of whatever we want. We have amazing brains that are in control of what we get to think and do. So,
Yeah, and
pretty
now
cool.
we're thinking and distracted because our son just walked in.
It's Ridge.
You want to
Hi.
say
Ridge is 8. Ridge, what are you thinking about today? You don't
You're
know.
all done with your workshops. Was that fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you wish you could do it again?
I
Really?
can.
Next year.
Right. I'm
Well,
glad you
hey
had a good time.
everybody. Thanks for listening tonight. I know it was a little bit rambly, but that's as you know, if you've listened to any of these, that's kind of how we are.
That's reality for us.
Have a good night.
Hey there. So this is Tyler again. During the podcast today, suicide came up almost casually, and I just want you to hear me say that there's nothing casual about suicidal thoughts or suicide in general. There's nothing casual about it. But I also want you to know that there's help out there. So if you know someone who is suffering from suicidal thoughts or or you yourself are feeling that way, please reach out to the professionals. There's counselors, social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists. There's a whole field full of people ready and willing to help. And if you don't even know where to begin, there's even a hotline. 1-800-273-8255. 273-8255 is the National Suicide Hotline. You can call that number. regardless of what you do to get help, the important thing is to get out there and get help. You know, if we talked about depression, anxiety, mental illness, the way we talk about heart disease and cancer prevention, I have a feeling our nation would be in a very different state. So let's maybe make a commitment to make mental illness spoken of in our homes the same way we speak of physical illness. And maybe we could just talk about illness. So those are my little thoughts for today. I just wanted to make sure you heard my voice talking about that. There's help out there. Please get it. And take care.